from Psalms 119, verses 76 through 77. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight.
My name is Kurt Chun, and Paul's our regular pulpit minister, so I guess I'm an irregular minister this morning. Anyway, Paul's in Big Spring today. The commitment's only for 30 days, and I think he'll be out soon. No, I'm just teasing. He's in, many of you are thinking, it's about time. No, Paul's in Big Spring today, giving a lesson up there, and he'll be back this evening. The young men will be conducting services this evening, but he'll be back this evening. If you're a visitor with us this morning, we're really thankful that you're here. A lot of other places you could be, but we're glad you're here with us this morning. You may have seen things a little different this morning than if you've gone other places. For instance, we sing without instruments here. The Lord's told us in the New Testament to make music in our hearts, and that's what we do. So we don't use instrumental music. We sing as they sang in the New Testament. We also partake of the Lord's Supper. We do this every single Sunday morning because that's what the New Testament church did. So we're following in the steps that they did. We sing. We give an offering like the New Testament church did on the first day of the week. We have lessons on the first day of the week, and we pray. So our services are like this every week. We come together as we try to imitate the New Testament church and worship as they worship. So that's why things may be a little different this morning. Also, if you're visiting with us this morning, you may have, you were asked a few moments ago or a little bit ago to fill out a visitor's card. The visitor's card's in that songbook rack in front of you. If you'll take that out, we promise we're not going to stalk you or track you or anything, but we would like to have a record of your visit. For members, that's the other side you want to fill out, and there's a reason for that. If a crime is committed this morning, Les Bird and Philip Kemp can cross you off the suspects list because you have an alibi. Your DNA will be actually on the card, and they can say, no, they were there that morning because they filled out the card, and their DNA is there. And anyway, we like to have that as well. Well, when we talk about this morning, my clicker's going this morning. You may have seen this book as a child or may have read it to your children. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Alexander had a bad day. Matter of fact, in the book, when he wakes up first thing in the morning, he had gone to sleep with gum in his mouth. He wakes up, it's in his hair. That's how his day starts. And as he goes throughout his day, a series of things continue to happen to him that make him feel frustrated, like it's a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. For instance, his mom didn't pack a dessert in his lunch. Not a good thing. And when he went to bed that night, his Mickey Mouse nightlight wasn't working. Towards the end of the book. And so he just says, today was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Sometimes we have those, don't we? Where everything doesn't seem to be working out right. There's something else that can happen to us sometimes called this just world phenomenon. And the just world phenomenon is where we believe that things should happen in a certain way. It makes sense to us for the world to act in a certain way. It provides for us some predictability in our lives. It makes us feel like we have some control, or at least have some predictability again to what's going to happen in our worlds. So with this just world phenomenon, there's two reasons why I think we have this. First is it comes from being like God. We were created in His image. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 6 says, God is just. Also, in Luke chapter 18, we have this parable given by Jesus, and the end of that, it's saying, God is a just God. We depend upon and rely upon that. And I think so that's one of the reasons why we think things ought to be just, things ought to be a certain way, because we're created like Him. And as I said a few moments ago, this also gives us some sense of predictability and hope in our world. You see, when bad things happen to us in our lives, they are world shakers, aren't they? World shakers that cause us to think, what's happening in our worlds? What's happening that causes us to feel a certain way? Things get turned upside down. Your mate says, I don't want to be married to you anymore. That will shake your world. Your apply for a job and get turned down, or you're going to work and the boss says, we're downsizing and we're going to have to let you go. Shakes your world up. You've done nothing, but it shakes your world up. You go home and somebody's ransacked and burglarized your house. You didn't do anything, but that's happened to you. You may be a woman who's gone through some sexual assault. That's happened to you. And you think, this shakes my world when these kinds of things happen. When bad things happen to good people, how can this occur? Because the world is supposed to be just. Good things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Otherwise, man, it really shakes with and messes with us overall. A child gets cancer who's 3 years old, and they pass away. How fair is that? That's not fair at all. What's going on with this world? And not only are they world shakers, but they're also faith shakers. They're things that cause us to really begin to doubt. If you have your Old Testaments with you, turn with me to Job chapter 21. Job, from studying Job before, goes through a series of major, major losses in his life, losing all of his source of income, losing all his children in terrific accidents, and then losing his own health. Job struggles in the whole book of Job is his struggle with where is God in all this? What's happened? And he says this starting in verses 6 and 7. When I think about this, I'm terrified. Trembling seizes my body. And here's what he's thinking about. Starting in verse 7. Why do the wicked live on, growing old and increasing in power? They see their children established around them, their offspring before their eyes. Their homes are safe and free from fear. The rod of God is never upon them. Their bulls never fail to breed. Their cows calf and do not miscarry. They send forth their children as a flock. Their little ones dance about. They sing to the music of the tambourine and harp. They make merry to the sound of the flute. They spend their years in prosperity and go down to the grave in peace. Yet they say to God, leave us alone. We have no desire to know your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? What would we gain by praying to him? And when Job says that in verse 6, he says, when I think about this, I'm terrified. I'm terrified in my soul when I think, is everything I believed upside down? And you ask those three questions we had there just a moment ago. The three questions are, is God unfair? Is God silent? Is God hidden? Because nothing seems to be going right, and all I know is I cry out to the Lord, and it's not going well. Life's not going well. Things are turned upside down, and my faith is really, and that's what Job's telling us here. David felt the same way. Here's two passages that talk about how David felt. David says, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? That's what David's crying out. And he also says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Does that sound like somebody who's got great faith in God? Well, he does, but it sounds like somebody who's shaken in their faith and who's saying, what's going to happen to me overall? How can this happen? And you ask this question, am I wasting my time on God? Turn with me to Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, the psalmist there, Asaph, says something similar to what Job talked about a few moments ago. Starting in verse 2, Psalm 73, starting in verse 2. As for me, my feet had almost slipped, and I nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. Pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil concepts, their minds know no limits. They scoff, speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven. Their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. And this is what he begins thinking in verse 13. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been plagued. I have been punished every morning. And he asked the question, am I wasting my time following God? Because I thought this God stuff was supposed to work for you. I thought if you were in our times, I thought if you were, you heard, believed, confessed, repented, and were baptized, I come to church, I read my Bible, maybe not every day, but I read my Bible. I pray to God at least for my meals. I pray for him at other times as well. And yet bad things happen. Am I wasting my time following God? That's the question the psalmist is asking. That's a question that's tempted for us to ask when these faith-shaking moments happen in our lives. Well, those moments happen for a variety of reasons. I'll just mention a few. We're not going to go into much detail this morning, but a few of those reasons those happen. Well, sometimes faith-shaking events happen maybe as a result of sin in my own life, and I'm getting some consequences of my sin. Because the Bible does say what a man reaps, sows he's going to reap. It may be that. I may also be a victim of somebody else's crime, somebody else's sin. I'm driving down the road obeying the laws of the land and doing the right thing, and somebody else is been drinking, and the alcoholic hits my car and kills me or injures me severely. It has nothing to do with what I've done. It's somebody else's sin, and I suffer as a result of that. Sometimes it's just because we're fallen people in a fallen world. I make mistakes. I remember driving back from Odessa College one morning, and when I was driving down the road, at that time it was 8-track tapes, but I had my 8-track tape player, and I'm trying to change the 8-track tape in my player down the road. I look up, and I'm all the way over in the other lane over here, and nearly coming head-on with another car. I was able to pull over real quick, and we avoided an accident. But if I had been in a wreck that day, it's just not because I'm sinning. I just make mistakes. Look around the house. When I look around the house at things I try to repair, I can see all sorts of mistakes I make sometimes. I just make mistakes, and sometimes we may suffer because of mistakes we've made. So maybe my sins. It could be the sins of other people. It could be just that we're fallible people. We just make mistakes. I may also suffer because we're finite people living in a finite time. We're promised we're all going to pass. Unless the Lord comes first, we're going to die. So your body's going to age. Things are going to happen. Cancers are going to occur. And it's going to be due to DNA. It's going to be other genetic factors and things that happen. And so when the doctor says, I have some bad news, it's not because maybe any sin's taking place or there's any punishment taking place. That's going to happen in this world. It can still be a faith shaker. Satan is alive. That's one of our other reasons. He is alive, and he's very active. The 1 Peter 5, verse 7 describes him as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He's actively trying to shake your world and my world, so we turn around and say that statement up there, am I wasting my time following God? That's what Satan wants us to do. And God does discipline us for our own good. So to pin every bad thing that happens in my life on God and say God's doing this to me is an unfair thing, because God loves us and cares for us. So what do we do with our faith-shaking times and when we have those kinds of questions? Well, a couple of things. What do you do? Here's the first thing. You look for the unseen. If you have your New Testaments with me, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in that passage, Paul talks about the struggles he's been through, and they're not light struggles, by the way. We may do a series sometimes on some fake news, and one of the fake news is that God will never give you more than you can handle. That's not necessarily always true. Now, we're told he's not going to tempt us above or beyond our ability to resist temptation, but to beyond what we're able to bear. If you're here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, turn over three chapters to the beginning, to chapter 1. Paul's trying to tell the Corinthians, we've been in a hard place here. Here's what he says starting in verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. Man, he's saying, this is bad. It's bad. It was more what we could take. How did Paul deal with that? Well, starting in chapter 4, verse 18, or not starting, but in chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says this. We don't lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away. Inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. What Paul was able to do is say, you know, these troubles we have are light, momentary troubles. When you look into eternity and say, what am I struggling with right now that may be a world faith shaker in terms of eternity, Paul says, that's a light and momentary trouble. It's getting a different perspective on things. If you have your Old Testaments, again, we were in Psalm chapter 73 a moment ago. The psalmist says the same thing. When in Psalm 73, he talks about what kind of took, before he was saying, am I wasting my time? In 73, verse 25, he says, who have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. When I look at what's really, really important, and the bottom line, scratch everything down to the very core essence of being, you're all I have. That's seeing the unseen. That's realizing that God is there, although I might be questioning and saying, is he present? Is he hidden? Is he silent? God's there. And when I see that, that helps with that. So the first thing that can help us sometimes is getting beyond the present distress we're feeling and seeing what the bigger picture is, seeing the unseen that's there. A second thing is casting our care on him. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, cast all your anxiety or cares on him because he cares for you. There's only one direction to go when you're at the bottom, and that's up, and only one direction to go towards God, and that's towards him, because he is the source of help, the source of light that we can have when those faith-shaking, earth-shaking times happen in our lives. And they've happened in every one of your lives. They've happened in my life, and they're going to continue to happen in our lives. What do? We cast all those cares on him, our anxieties on him, because he cares for us. Lastly, as we look at this, Psalm chapter 73, again, the psalmist ends up by saying this, as for me, it's good to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge. Refuge is your place of safety. My place of safety, my go-to place, is the Lord, is what the psalmist is telling us. Now, that's after he's talked about all the bad that he's seeing, all the good people who are struggling, and all the bad people who are doing well. And he said, my foot nearly slipped. I was asking myself, am I wasting my time with God? And he said, I've seen the unseen, and I've made the Lord my refuge. Matter of fact, here in chapter 73, starting in verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. What did David discover about this? David discovered two things. First, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Is God far away from us? No. You're crushed in spirit. You're hurting. You're crying, you're upset, your life is upside down. Where is God? He's close to the brokenhearted. He's there. He's close. David also says this. One thing God has spoken, two things I've heard. So God spoke, and David heard two things. Here are the two things. You, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. That's the bottom line. Is God silent? No. Is he hidden? No. Does he care? We sang the song a little while ago. Yes, he cares. He cares for us in our earth-shaking moments. The encouragement this morning is to believe what David's telling us, that God has these two attributes to him. He's strong than anything else I go through, and he's also loving and cares for us deeply. We're his children. He sent his son to die for. He's loving as well. This morning, as we close out our lesson, if you've had an earth-shaking, faith-shaking moment, you're not alone. We've all been there. What you want to do is hold on to those two strengths, those two qualities that David said about God being strong and loving, and he's there for us. This morning, you may need or would like for us to pray for something you've been through, some faith-shaking moment. Maybe you've been away from God and are coming back and saying, I need God to be my refuge again. Whatever your needs may be, we ask you to come at this time as we stand and as we sing.
Give to you, take.